turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112. And we will read from verse 9, Psalm 112 and verse 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Especially these words at the end of verse 10. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire of the wicked shall perish. What ungodly people want most will be taken away from them. Their greatest ambitions will not be reached. Their highest aims and their wonderful plans will not be obtained. The desire of the wicked shall perish. We may be tempted to follow them in their desires and want what they have and tempted to do what they do, but let us learn from this part of God's word, the desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire of the wicked will be destroyed. With the Lord's help, we will consider the wicked, first of all. Who are they? The wicked. And secondly, the desires of the wicked. What the wicked desire. Thirdly, the wicked's desires shall perish. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So we have three simple heads and thoughts before us found in this text. Who are the wicked? What are the wicked's desires? And how shall the wicked's desires perish? First of all, the wicked. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. That is, the wicked will see the righteous exalted. The wicked will see God's people honored. And the wicked will see it and not like it. They will see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Now we must not think of the wicked as only those who are guilty of horrible crimes. The wicked, well, that is a word that is constantly used to contrast that with the righteous. In other words, it's an antonym for righteous. It's the wicked are the opposite of the righteous. And that is seen in Psalm 71, verse 4. Where the psalmist is praying, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. You can often find out the meaning of one word in one part of the verse by the following word or the following part of the verse. One part of the verse sheds light on the other part. And so the wicked are the unrighteous. The scriptures constantly put the wicked over against the righteous, and there's no in between. There's no middle ground between the wicked and the righteous. There's only two categories in scripture, wicked and righteous. And that's what we find here. The psalm speaks of the righteous man. The righteous person is one who loves God and loves his righteous ways. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And so we need to ask ourselves, does this describe us at all? Do we fear the Lord? Now, the fear of the Lord is not a slavish dread. because it's such a fear that is consistent with delighting greatly in his commandments. Those who are full of dread of God, full of slavish fear, they don't delight in God's commandments. They don't rejoice in God's ways. Those who truly fear the Lord, they love the Lord, and they love his commandments. How we should cherish God's commandments. It should be with us not, oh, well, we have to do this, we have to drag ourselves, and we have to just force ourselves to keep the commandments. We should love the commandments. We should delight in them. And if we are God's people, we do delight in them. But often, God's people find so much corruption, the old man asserting himself so much, that they wonder if there is any delight in God's commandments. Well then, lesson, mortify sin. You see corruption building up, go to Christ, pray for the power of the Spirit, fight sin. If sin is building up, it's going to smother grace. We have to kill sin so that sin will not be killing us. And when sin is fought against, then there will be evidence rising up within us that we truly love God's ways. Do you not love God's commandments? Are you not righteous by having a new heart and having a new love for God's ways? Well, then you are in the other category. You're in the category of the wicked. There's no in-between. If you are not righteous by having a new heart and love for God's ways, and righteous in Christ by faith in him, justification, then there's only one category left, and that's in the category with the great, awful word written over it, wicked. Because you do not have a new heart. You only have a principle of sin as the governing moral principle within you. You don't have a new heart. All you have is an old heart, unclean, corrupt heart. And that's how that is called wicked in God's estimation. The wicked man is the unrenewed, unconverted man, the natural man, not the gracious man, not the spiritual man, but the carnal man, the natural man. That is, those who don't have grace in their hearts, those who don't have the Spirit of Christ. And Paul says that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. Now that's what God sees. Because there is an outward, visible relationship between Christ and visible church members, those who are baptized and members of the visible church. But we're talking about what God sees, and that is the heart. God sees through what is visible. He sees through the outward conformity, the outward following Christ's ways, coming to the house of God and receiving baptism and teaching our children and learning the scriptures and catechism. That's all outward, external. We pray that it will be internalized. We pray that the Lord will bless it by his Holy Spirit and will be deep within our hearts. Yes. But if it's not, God sees the heart. God knows what's within us. And he sees our wicked hearts. So friends, we need to remember that when the wicked are spoken of in God's word, it's not only those who are notoriously wicked, but it's speaking of those who are controlled only by their wicked hearts. Yes, there is conscience, yes. There's outward restraint, yes. But I mean the desires and the purposes and the aims, the ways of thinking, ambitions, the motives, that is controlled mostly by the corruption within us, the old, evil, corrupt nature. So we need to bear that in mind. Or else, when we read the scriptures, we'll say, well, that's speaking of a wicked man, and that's certainly not me, because I'm not wicked. Ah, look a little deeper. Look deeper. See your wicked heart. God says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that's your heart and mine by nature. And the word wicked does apply to you if you are directed in your ambitions and purposes by your wicked heart. The word wicked does apply to you if you are not righteous in Christ and righteous in your soul by justification and sanctification. So, if we do not desire God and Christ above all, then you see what this is telling us is that our desires will perish. Those who don't have a new heart, well, what they have is a deceitful heart, and they are deceiving themselves, and what they desire most will utterly decay. So, you see, the unconverted are described by their prevailing desires. The unconverted, they are referred to by what displays their inward ruling moral principles. When I say moral, I mean that which has to do with right and wrong. A moral principle can be an evil thing. It is going in the opposite direction of God and righteousness. So, even though a person may not be outwardly rebellious and reveling in drunkenness, yet that person may be described by such sins. The Old Testament speaks in concrete terms and refers to the ungodly as if they were wickedness personified. And even though the outward actions are good, their outward actions may be good, but there's hypocrisy. They are deceitful, and they are wicked, like Judas. He seemed to be good all along. But in the end, it was abundantly clear that he was a wicked man. Perhaps he began well. Perhaps he even deceived himself. He thought he was righteous. It looked like he wanted to follow the ways of Christ, but sin built up, increased in power, and it proved that he was wicked, that he was the son of perdition. So the Bible often speaks of sinners by referring to those who are the epitome of wickedness. Those who are very outwardly wicked, that is describing everyone who is wicked in their hearts. And that is so that we can see, we can understand who we really are by nature. God describes our character by pointing us to monstrous, wicked sinners. And so we can say, well, that's who I am. Right? We can think of Cain, and he killed Abel. Well, our anger is saying, well, I'm like Cain. That's me. And that's what I would do if that's myself. Our wickedness would increase and would become very outward if we were left to ourselves and did not have the grace of God. Now, you know that God's people have wicked hearts too. That is the old man. But the reason it's called the old man is because there is a new man to make the first old. And so we don't really speak about unbelievers or the unconverted as having the old man. Why? Because there's not a new man to make the principle of sin old. What the unconverted have is a principle of sin. They are corrupt. There's no grace. The Holy Spirit is not within them. All they have is the evil. It It's God's power that keeps us from going further into sin. We should all be thankful for that. It's only God's power that keeps you from going further and deeper into sin. But you see, with God's people, they not only have the principle of sin, they have a principle of holiness within them. They have the new man. David prays, "Gather not my soul with sinners." He's describing those who are without holiness, without grace. They are nothing but sinners. They are those who make sin their business. That's what they desire above all things, to please themselves and to get what they want. Sin is ruling over them. And David is praying, "Gather not my soul with sinners." David was a sinner. But he's thinking of those who are nothing but sinners. And David is praying, as we have in Psalm 7, verse 9, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." Someone might have seen David in his sin with Bathsheba and slaying Uriah and would say, "Well, that's a wicked man." You might have seen Ahithophel or someone else who never did anything like that outwardly. And the person would say, well, he's a righteous man. But you see, God knows the difference. He sees those who are wicked and he sees those who are righteous. It proves that Ahithophel was the wicked man. He goes out and kills himself. And David repents of his sin. He's a righteous man. David prays, "Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God." He knows the difference between the wicked and the righteous. God trieth the hearts and reins. He has no difficulty seeing the difference. He knows who they are. He knows where you are today. He knows your heart and mine. He looks through the outward and external. He sees beneath the surface. He goes right to our hearts, and he determines whether it's good or bad, whether there's a wicked heart and only a wicked heart, or whether it's a new heart and the desire to be holy. So the Lord knows all things. He sees whether there is no desire to glorify God. He sees whether you are not influenced by faith and love. He knows whether you are ruled by your sinful desires and sinful nature. And how solemn it is, friend, how solemn to be separated from the righteous and be placed within the category of the wicked. And the desires of the wicked shall perish. The desires of the wicked shall perish. In the second place, pray that you will understand these things, and you will see that what the ungodly and the unconverted desire most is not the glory of God. What they desire most will utterly perish. The wicked shall see it, that is the exaltation of the righteous, and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire of the wicked for the downfall of the righteous, well, that desire will perish. The psalm is speaking about those who are righteous, those who give to the poor, lending to others, very helpful and generous, and his righteousness endureth forever. Verse 9, you see it's speaking of the righteous person. And the Lord Jesus says that on the judgment day, he will point out those who loved him and loved his people and performed good works as evidence that they were his people. They were not justified by their works. They didn't earn salvation by good works. But their good works was proof and evidence that they were justified. Their good works was evidence that they truly believed in Jesus and were justified by the righteousness of Christ. will do good works, and the good works are evidence of salvation, and those good works are righteous works. Believers are righteous. They're righteous, first of all, by the righteousness of Christ. Right? Christ's righteousness is imputed to them. It covers them like a white robe of righteousness. But they are also righteous in their souls by having a new heart and desires after righteousness, to follow after righteousness. So they are righteous. And their righteousness, we are told, shall be an everlasting remembrance. God is not unrighteous to forget the labor of love of God's people, their righteous deeds that will all be brought to remembrance at the last day. When that happens, God's people will be exalted. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The horn is a symbol of strength. God has strengthened his people, and their strength will increase. They will be well known for their good deeds. They will be exalted with honor. And the wicked shall see it and be grieved. The ungodly who persecuted the righteous, they will not like it. They will gnash, he shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Well, deep down inside the wicked, there is hatred for God's people. The ungodly do not love God's people just because they don't love God. They hate God. They hate everything about God in terms of God's righteousness and holiness. Oh, they might love all the good things that God gives them. Of course they love those things, but they don't love God as the Holy One and the Righteous One. The unbeliever and the unconverted and deep in their hearts do not love God's people either. They grieve when they see the righteous prevailing. The ungodly are bent on their evil deeds, and they are ready to see the people of God come to an end. They are bent on destroying Christianity and everything that has to do with it. That's the essence. That's the heart of their desires. You see that in what is called abortion rights. Many people are very angry that the Supreme Court in the U.S. Overturned that terrible decision in the 70s and has now made abortion to be no longer a constitutional right. It never was. And there are many, many people who are seeking that to be overturned or finding some way to prevent abortion in the states that have made it illegal. And this is just giving evidence of the enmity of the heart, isn't it? The malice of the wicked towards those who are endeavoring to follow after righteousness. The Lord has made it the woman and the seed of the serpent. Towards God and his people. And if we don't repent of our sins by the power of the Spirit putting a new heart in us and giving us desires to turn to God, what will happen? That enmity will come to the surface. We will be just like these people here. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. They will persecute God's people. There have been some, even in this congregation, who have heard the ungodly say to them when they were standing up for the truth, desiring their downfall, desiring their death. That's the enmity of the heart rising to the surface and coming out in verbal abuse, the hatred of Cain. And we need to pray. You need to pray for a new heart. If you don't have one, if you are not converted, pray that you would be changed, that you would not be in the camp of Cain, the kingdom of Satan, and the category of the wicked. Those wicked and evil. people who are notorious in their selfishness. They don't seem to care about anyone else. And the psychologist might term it psychopathic behavior or whatever, but we need to always remember the principle of sin and the principle of God abandoning a person. So if they indulge sin and indulge sin, they get worse and worse in sin. They love sin. They live in sin. They live in their lives. They live in the pursuit of their own selfish agenda. That rules over them. God, it seems, leaves some more to themselves than others, just to show us the evil of sinful human nature. But the desires of the wicked shall perish. Oh, the wicked trust in themselves, the ungodly, the unconverted, they're really self-confident. If they really trusted in the Lord, well, they would be the Lord's people. They say their prayers, but are they trusting in the Lord? Are they trusting in the Lord as they ought, seeking His glory? They're relying upon themselves. They're relying on their own prayers. Perhaps if they looked at it, they would think of prayer as a charm. Just say the right words at the right time. Then you get an answer. I'll try that too, someone might say. They're not trusting in God, but trusting in themselves, or trusting in their own efforts. But think of that. The vain confidence of man, this self-confidence that the world glories in. What does God say? Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? The desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Well, the wicked love their idols. The natural man, the unconverted person, they love the things of this life. These are the things that they glory in. They glory in the things of time and sense. One loves his car, another loves his house, another loves his career. They all love themselves. These are the things that keep them going, that give them motivation, and it's all they have. Someone was talking about a person who seemed to be very much in love with his car. And he said, well, that's all that person has. It's a chunk of metal. Oh, we have to look higher, look beyond this world, because the desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire of the unconverted, the things that make them happy, the things that they like, it will all crumble and die out. The desire of the wicked shall perish. These things are really their idols. And their idols will be consumed. These things, house, hobby, career, family, well, they're not the true God. They're a false God. These things will not make us truly happy. Besides that, the desire of the wicked shall perish. Do you desire fellowship with Christ? Do you not? Some here don't even know what fellowship with Christ means. How can they know it when they don't enjoy it? And they don't even see how the things of the Lord can give us real pleasure and satisfaction. Why don't they see it? Because their eyes are not open. They desire only earthly things, things that are within reach, things that give them immediate satisfaction to their natural man, to their senses, and to their own feelings. And they don't understand how communion with Christ can be enjoyable in heaven, be wonderful and enjoyable to all eternity. And so the things of this world and this life are what give them satisfaction. But remember this, the desire of the wicked shall perish. What wicked people desire most shall perish. You may see the ungodly go in their sinful ways, and it seems that they get so much pleasure. It gives them a high, it keeps them going is excitement, but the desire of the wicked shall perish. They desire to indulge their senses to the maximum. In this world that is all about what appeals to the senses, in worldly shops and malls, but you would call it Vanity Fair. It's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. It's all about the body and indulging the appetite. God says the desire of the wicked shall perish. They pamper the flesh. They satisfy their physical cravings. But the desire of the wicked shall perish. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. It's all passing away. All of these sinful desires that come from the human heart, which is corrupt and deceitful above all things, is what these sinful desires rule over the ungodly. But those desires, they may not come to the surface, they might be pent up. But everyone who follows their sinful desires, those who are ruled by their sinful desires, all the ungodly, all the unconverted, the desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire of the wicked shall perish.
Try to appear as harlots and
not seek the glory of God, will all cease forever. That which they perform without looking to God and His Word, whatever it is, apart from God, it will all be destroyed. All the Sabbath breaking, taking care of their house, their home, and their lawn, and their driveway, and car, and all of this, breaking the Sabbath and doing it without and neglecting God's worship, will all perish. Their desires will perish. Whatever people glory in, apart from Christ, that youthfulness, people glory in youth today. Well, it doesn't take long before youth vanishes. And priding themselves in their looks and lusting after their beauty, it will all perish. That which they are confident in, themselves, their achievements, that which they boast of, their own courage and bravado, it will all perish. Challenging one another to do dangerous things, everything will come to an end. They will be full of fear. Whereas now they think that they're fearless and full of courage. It's God's people who are really fearless, and they can remain calm when evil tidings come. But when the economy crashes, when there's famine, or plague and pestilence, then the wicked will see that, and their hearts will melt away. Jesus speaks of people's hearts failing them for fear. But the righteous shall not be moved forever. Verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Whereas the wicked will be stricken with terror, and their worst fears will come upon them. Their hopes will be extinguished. Their desires will perish. All their pursuits, all their ambitions, they might reach them on earth, but they can't keep them. They'll not be satisfied by them. The plaques on the wall that speaks of their PhD or their other accomplishments in their career or their amazing discoveries and Nobel Prizes, all be consumed. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The day is coming when everything, the billions of dollars will be taken away from the people being honored. There can be hard hardly a worse description of a person than one who hates the righteous. Those who hate the righteous, those who hate God's people, well, that hatred is in your heart, friend. And left to yourself, going on in sin, that hatred will come out, and the day will come, if you don't repent, that you will see God's people honored, and you will fret, you will hate it, you will be grieved, you will gnash with your teeth and strike your teeth together and grind your teeth in malice and rage. When you see God's people exalted, and you will melt away. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The unbeliever will disintegrate. He will have a meltdown. He will panic. He will be frightened. He will lose heart, give up, and say, it's no use. I've been following a lost cause. There's no hope. May the mountains fall upon me, because the wrath of the Lamb has come. And who shall be able to stand? And then the wicked shall be cast into outer darkness, and all their desires will perish with them. The thoughts of the wicked shall perish in the day that he dies. He's like the beasts that perish. All their desires go out with them into a black vacuum, a void, an emptiness, one eternal monotony. But worse than that, to have the gnawing worm, the accusing conscience ever present, to increase the torments of hell, unending misery. Oh, what a plight! The desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Would you not agree that the righteous man is blessed? Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. He has something that will never be taken away. Jesus said, Mary had chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. But the desire of the wicked shall perish. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. What he dreads most, it will come. People suppress their fears. They put away the evil day. They don't want to think about death or judgment or eternity. And they find refuge in, well, we'll never figure it out. No one can be sure. Suppress their fears of death and judgment and hell. But the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Hell will come. Judgment will come. The wrath of the Lamb will come. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. That's Proverbs 10:24. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. God's people love Christ. They want to have communion with Christ. And their desires will be fulfilled. Christ will come to them in love. He will come to them in the breaking of bread. He will manifest himself to his people. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. Well, the Lord's people may be tempted. They may be tempted by the prosperity of the wicked and say, oh, why do I go through so much difficulty? They may be tempted by Satan tempting them and say, is it worth all of this? Or is it a vain thing that I'm serving God? It is not a vain thing, friend. Labor is not in vain. The desire of the wicked shall perish, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. All of your gracious desires, all your longing for conformity to Christ and nearness to Christ and the joy of the Lord, that unspeakable joy full of glory, it will be granted to you. It will be given to you, overflowing. So then, when you're tempted to be discouraged, come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, all the evil and the filth of the world, all the blasphemy in the world, all the rejection of God and the rebellion against God, let it come to an end. Let it come to an end. It will come to an end. He has promised it will come to an end. The world passeth away, the lust thereof, it's all going to go and terminate in hell. But he that doeth the will of God, he that doeth the will of God, abideth forever. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. So pray earnestly. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. One commentator says, there never was a regenerate man that did not heartily offer that prayer. You'll not find a child of God who doesn't pray in some way, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Let the sinners be consumed from the earth. The end of Psalm 104. Is that your prayer? It's my prayer. I hope it's yours. Let sinners be consumed. Oh, but I'm a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be righteous. And if you don't want to be righteous, you're a sinner and nothing but a sinner. And the day will come when you'll be consumed. Unless you repent. Except you repent. You shall all likewise perish. The desire of the wicked shall perish. And you will perish if you remain wicked. You will perish if you do not become righteous. You will perish. The Lord Jesus died on the cross to save sinners, to deliver his people from this ungodly, present evil world. So they would say goodbye to this world and never be faced with the corruption and the wickedness of the wicked any longer. Yes, the righteous man dies. No one seems to lay it to heart. But God is taking him or her from the evil of this world. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Friend, if we're God's people, see this world full of wickedness, we will not just casually walk through cities and shopping malls as if we were quite at home there. We'll be praying, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. The Lord Jesus died to redeem his people from all iniquity. They don't want to see iniquity. Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Let us pray that we will be kept unspotted from the world, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Remember, Paul the Apostle said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So we have tried to set before you these terrors, this awful plight of a perishing sinner, falling into the hands of the living God. What a fearful reality. So that we might persuade you to repent and to flee from the wrath to come. God's word tells us, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Well, he is your God, all of you, by an outward relationship in the visible church, by baptism, by church attendance, as a visible membership, which I trust we all have. But visible membership is not saving. God sees the heart. You might look like one of God's people, but God sees beyond it. Do you have a new heart? Do you delight in God's ways? Are you righteous by faith in Jesus Christ? Are you righteous in your soul with a new, clean heart and the work of the Holy Spirit washing you with water, spiritual washing? That's the question. Pray that you would experience these things. Seek salvation with all your heart. God tells you, in his word. He shall seek me, find me. He shall search for me with all your heart, all your heart. Pray that an unconverted state, which is the category of the wicked, would be intolerable for you. Don't think, well, my friends are unconverted. Can't be that bad. It's intolerable. God's wrath is hanging over you. If you died this moment, you would be in hell. Let that keep you awake at night if you're not seeking the Lord with all your heart. Seek Him, and you'll find Him. Seek Him, and you'll find Him. That's His promise. The promise of the Word of God. Flee to Jesus. Go to Him. It's time to see that the husks of this world are not satisfied. There's heavenly manna for you, offered freely in the gospel. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Come to this spiritual food to be satisfied in your soul, to be filled, to overflowing, all in Christ. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word. Jesus' sake.